welcome to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much to AJ, a former student of mine and a bigwig here at KDVS, for running Free Speech Radio News and a great number of other music-oriented programs for your favorite campus and community radio station. We are celebrating the Ides of March. I think that was yesterday. Not with a reading of Julius Caesar, though that would be appropriate, but with conversation with three different creative professionals who happen to be down here in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn. We will hear from Pippa Wishaw is here. And she's from Melbourne, Australia. She's studying English at UC Davis and has been an exchange student for the last two quarters. I will introduce you to her, and she will be reading some poems, I think, of her own and also of others. And then we will hear from Steve Lyons and Bonnie Antonini. The California Stage Company in Sacramento is going to premiere Mystery Spot, which is a comedy written by former Sacramento resident Steve Lyons, who graduated from San Juan High School and attended Sac State before transferring to UC Berkeley. With him will be actress Bonnie Antonini, who plays the part of Sylvia Plath in the play and is herself an accomplished poet. So as you can tell, we have a full schedule of creative, interesting people, as is always the case, and we'll be sprinkling into all of it poetry, perhaps some talk of technology, and jazz. All the things that you've come to expect when you tune in to your favorite campus and community radio station to hear Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back.
To you, courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. Next week on this program, you'll be hearing a best-of recording. I'll be on the East Coast visiting friends in Washington, D.C., and doctors in Bethesda, bringing a member of my family who they're very interested in, one of my sons. So I'll be out of town next week. I will play or have played a pre-recorded best-of edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour that may feature an interview with Pulitzer Prize-winning poet and one of the last remaining surviving beat poets, Gary Snyder. So make sure you tune in for that a week from today. I'll be back in 2 weeks on the 30th of March. Make sure to stick around for the second half of the program for Steve Lyons and Bonnie Antonini are here in the studios of KDVS, and they're going to be talking to us about a show coming up called Mystery Spot, which will open at California Stage Company in Sacramento. But for right now, I'd like to introduce you all to Pippa Wishaw. Pippa Wishaw is from Melbourne, Australia. She's been studying English at UC Davis as an exchange student for the last two quarters. She's been completing her undergraduate degree in media and communications, as well as creative writing. So one could say that she's interested in poetry and technology. She's going to be heading back down under in the spring after one more quarter here in Davis. And she's someone who loves to write and read, travel, dance, and take photographs. She's taken several creative writing courses over the last few years, but has only recently started her hand in poetry, having taken the English 5P lower division poetry class here at UC Davis. I'm very pleased to have her here in the studio to talk about her work. An unexpected invitation for her, but my pleasure. Pippa Wishaw, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Dr. Andy.
Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
So you're from Melbourne, Australia.
That's right.
Tell me about the decision-making process that brought you to Davis and UC Davis for part of your undergraduate studies.
Well, to be 100% honest, mm-hmm. I actually wanted to go to Berkeley. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually really glad that I got into Davis instead because, I don't know, it's been really good for me. It's my kind of place. I love the people here. I always wanted to go on university exchange, and I always wanted to come to the U.S. because I thought it's quite different here to back home. And I've always liked the sound of California, so here I am.
Excellent. This is your first time on the radio?
Yes, it is.
So I was going to ask you about to compare your experience with radio back home to here, but I guess you'll have to email me those comparisons after you go back home to
Melbourne.
That's a
good idea. I'll do that.
And you're just about to graduate with mm-hmm. Degrees in media and communications as well as creative writing.
Mm-hmm, that's my degree back home, yep.
What does this... what do you imagine or hope that this will prepare you for?
At this point, I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure, like a lot of people, what I want to do. But I'm very interested in creative writing and the media. I prefer the sort of creative side of the media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also recently interested in travel, photography, and writing. And I'm also interested in publishing. So to be honest, at this point, I'm sort of trying to, like, I'm trying a few different things, sort of see what's out there, and I'm sure eventually I'll decide what I want to do. But, I'm really interested. I think writing is my passion.
Excellent. Good for you. As well, it should be. Tell me about some of your favorite writing classes that you took down under before joining us here at UC Davis.
I've taken some strange ones, actually. There was a performance writing class where you sort of wrote... it was called Script for Performance, and you wrote sort of like a monologue type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a bit of fun with that.
Did you have to memorize it?
Yeah, you did, yeah. And I sort of, mine was strange. I made mine about list making and all the lists that you make that you never sort of, you know, your never-ending bucket lists that you never get to, I don't know, it was sort of about how the list making part is kind of the fun. In the end. I've also done a professional writing course, which was part of the media side of my degree. In my first year, and that was fabulous. I had a great TA, And we did sort of, we tried different types of journalism, but it was the creative side. So that was really for me. And I loved short fiction. I did writing through character, which was really interesting. Writing through place, radical fiction was fascinating. So, yeah, it's been great.
These sound like great classes. Mm-hmm. I think we need some more of that creative offbeat energy here at UC Davis.
I really enjoyed creative writing here, actually. It's sort of similar, but it's different. Like, it's more general. I find the classes more general.
Mm-hmm.
But I find the standard, I find your classmates hold you to a high standard, which I really enjoyed.
So you took English 5P this past quarter, which
That's
is
right.
Introduction to Creative Writing Poetry.
That's right, because I'd never done poetry before. But last quarter I did 100F. Mm-hmm. So that was an upper division fiction class, which I really enjoyed. I actually found 5P was more work.
Yeah.
But that was good because that made me, you know, forced me to write. I mean, not that I should need it, but...
And what are some of the other highlights of that class? Were you pleased that you took it? Did you feel that the instruction made sense, or did it help you recognize things about yourself and about your poetry?
It really did. It really made me question what I value in writing or what I'm interested in, at least in this stage of my life. And mm-hmm. I know that these things change. And it was interesting. A lot of the people in the poetry class were very interested in, like, sort of using it as a form of catharsis or whatever to sort of... I don't know, write about personal issues and whatever. And I did to some degree, but for me, I sort of found that I did the opposite. Actually, I learned a lot about myself in the class. And I sort of experimented a bit with form. It kickstarted my poetry, my interest in poetry. So I think I really like sort of snippets of words and the way words are put together. So I think it's actually a form that could be really useful to... developing my writing career.
Excellent. Great.
Yeah.
Well, I know folks at home want to hear some examples of your writing career. So when we come back from this musical break and a public service announcement, we will hear some of the poetry of Pippa Wishaw. She's visiting us from Melbourne, Australia, both here in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn, KDBS, and the University of California at Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and we'll be right back with more of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're listening to the music of Dave Liebman and Gil Goldstein. This CD is called West Side Story Today. You can probably hear some echoes of the famous Leonard Bernstein lyrics from the Broadway play and or movie. I think it was about a 1960 movie, I want to say. This is an interpretation of that. A little background music while I chat this afternoon with Pippa Wishaw. She's from Melbourne, Australia, but right now she's studying poetry, fiction writing, and other topics here at the University of California at Davis. So, Pippa, was there a particular poet who you discovered this quarter with all the writing that you did in your creative writing poetry class that you're excited to have discovered because of that class?
My TA put me onto, or my professor put me onto a writer called Gwendolyn Brooks, mm-hmm. who I didn't know about before, because he said that I had sort of similar sort of style to Gwendolyn. So that was pretty exciting. I sort of had a look on the internet a few times, and there was one poem in particular that stuck out, which is We Real Cool. I think that's a pretty well-known poem.
Yeah.
I really love it. It's snappy. It's short. It's just got a great sound to it. It's got a great voice. And I think I'm kind of obsessed with voice, actually. I think I'm definitely going to try and have a look at more of her stuff.
Have you heard the recording of Brooks herself reading that poem?
Yeah, I did, actually. Yeah. I went online and I heard it, and she's amazing. Like it's something else to hear a writer read their own work.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
She passed away not long before I started this show 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had an obituary program in January of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see her read in Chicago in the 90s at some point, I think, 95, 96.
Wow.
And just a charming, wonderful, and very deep person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. Now that we've teased that for our readers, why don't you share your rendition of a Gwendolyn Brooks poem?
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Great. Let's hear it.
I'm sure I don't read it as well as her, but here we go. We real cool. We real cool. We left school. We lurk late. We strike straight. We sing sin. We thin gin. We jazz June. We die soon.
Very good.
Short and sweet.
And did you feel that that there are similarities there between what you've discovered of Brooks's poetry and your own?
I mean, she's a whole lot more polished than I am, and I mean, of course, there are differences. I think so. I think I really like rhythm. I have become quite obsessed with rhyme, actually. I sort of started to write a poem the other day, and I couldn't do it without rhyming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she focuses a lot on language. Doesn't mean that it's like meaningless, but I don't know. I find there's a real surface to her poems as well as a depth, which I really like. And she uses we a lot, that sort of that point of view, and I tend to do that as well. In fact, in my poetry final project for 5P this quarter, I called it We Real Hot because I wrote most of my poems. I tend to write about heat and like physical senses a lot for some reason,
mm-hmm.
And I tend to write from the we perspective, or I write in second person. So I don't know. I found that sort of kind of that collective identity, part of it being of a group rather than speaking just from the I perspective. I find it, I do that like at least in this poem. So I don't know. It definitely shades of this poem ring true with some of the stuff I've written.
Excellent. Well, let's hear one of your poems now. And let me remind folks that Pippa Wishaw is my guest. She's an exchange student in Davis from Melbourne, Australia, studying writing, communication, and poetry, and here's one of her poems.
Okay, so this is called Closed. It actually sprung from a sort of a short story that I wrote, and I sort of that was almost a condensed version of that, but it's just a snippet of a scene in Summer, which is partly drawn from personal experience, and there's a bit of imagination to it as well. So it's called Closed. Public swimming pool, dusk, us. Hottest day yet this summer. Heat so dense it sits down on your skin, like a visitor that won't leave, like a parent that won't let go. Nobody's here. They went home when the lifeguard, a girl borrowed straight from a dream, burnt, bored, and 14, blew her whistle, nicked a Coke from the cafeteria, and flipped the old tin sign on the gate to closed. Now it's just us, the five of us five, come in down over the fence, smelling a bit, probably, of stolen beer, which is the best kind of beer, and grinding our hungry feet into the sandpaper of the ground. Close off, quick, we run to the side and take five dives in that slightly separate way, milliseconds apart, because we can never get it just right. Split the seal, break the skin. The cold is deep and dark and hungry, swallowing us in its big mouth. Space, usually reserved for noise, company, thought, is filled with water. We do somersaults until we don't know anymore where is up and where is down. One at a time, we launch our bodies from the old diving board, a dirty white tongue that's rough on our feet and us, spinning satellites in a snap-dry sky, deep as a stadium and edged with peach clouds. With our bodies, we make rough parabolas, up, over, down, and at the top, at the turning point, the divine moment of suspension, we close our eyes, spread our fingers out. Right here, there's no space for time, place, shape, just for flight, or the closest humans can get to it, under a hot sun, at the death of another summer day.
Very nice. And what's the title of that again?
Closed. I'm not sure if I like the title. Still a work in progress.
Well, it's I like that very much.
Thank you.
I always imagine that the pool will be closed after dark and that would be the safe time to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what it's like in Melbourne. Growing up in Washington, D.C., I found that the heat could continue well deep into the evening,
mm-hmm.
whereas here in Davis, it's rare that we have a hot middle of the night, but it gets cool at night.
Yeah, it's. I remember even in, when was it, sort of October, November, it was hot, really hot during
right.
the day here, really dry heat as well. And Melbourne is, it's pretty similar to here, I'd say. It gets pretty cool, pretty cold in the winter and pretty hot in the summer, but the days sort of blend into the nights. The nights can be pretty hot.
Yeah.
This isn't really, it has nothing to do with Melbourne. This is sort of... trips that I've taken with friends to the middle of nowhere, little mm-hmm. towns. I kind of love that. I mean, I'm a city girl, but I really love small towns. There's something about them. And Queensland, which is in the north of Australia, where we've had a lot of the floods,
mm-hmm.
It's hot pretty much all year round. So I really love the heat. I'm a heat person.
Well, give us a couple months and we'll have some serious heat for you.
Very
here in the city
exciting.
Of Davis.
Very exciting.
Excellent. Well, Pippa Wishaw is my guest and my poet this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We are going to hear from Ricardo Montalban, and then when we return, we will say goodbye to Pippa and get ready for Steve Lyons and Bonnie Antonini. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Here to remind you that tomorrow is Poetry Night in the city of Davis. Lauren Norton, who is from Ireland, and the Souterrain are going to be performing at the John Nitzulis Gallery on March 17th, that is St. Patrick's Day, at 8 p.m. Lauren Norton is a poet. She's a folk singer. And in honor of St. Patrick's Day, she'll be reading a selection of poems, stories, and short essays that take Ireland as their setting or subject. There will also be musical accompaniment provided by her band, the Souterrain, which is a folk trio based in Davis. Lauren Norton is a poet in her second year of the UC Davis Master's Program in Creative Writing. She's a graduate of Trinity College, Dublin, and an Irish native. Growing up in County Wicklow, Lauren learned the old style of singing and fiddle playing with the Cornhaltis Siotuari Éireann. During her years at Trinity, she toured Europe with the Dublin University Chapel Choir as a first soprano. Isn't that impressive? Her poetry and essays have appeared in The Attic, Bray Arts Journal, and Galway University's Anthology of Established and Emerging Writers, Ropes. I'm very excited to welcome Lauren, who I've known for about 4.5 years now, as our featured poet. I knew her when she was an undergraduate, and she's really blossomed into a talented poet as well as an established musician. And I'm glad that tomorrow evening she'll be bringing together her variety of skills and that delightful Irish brogue, which I hope that she'll overemphasize while reading and singing to us tomorrow evening. Pippa Wishaw, are you going to be at that event tomorrow at the John Nitzulis Gallery?
I sure will.
Excellent.
Looking forward to it.
So am I. And so that will be tomorrow evening at 8 at the John Nitzulis Gallery. If you'd like to find out more information, visit poetryindavis.com. Well, Pippa Wishaw, I look forward to finding out more about you and your poetry in this coming quarter, because I think you've got one more quarter in Davis.
Yes, that's right.
And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow evening at the Lauren Norton event.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, stick around, folks, because coming up next, we've got Steve Lyons and Bonnie Antonini. They're going to be talking about a new production called Mystery Spot at the California Stage Company in Sacramento. And it involves, in part, the poetry and the life of Sylvia Plath. So keep it right here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is Dr. Andy with an important message. Maida Subaru reminds us that blood is the ultimate gift of life. It provides insurance for us all, especially those who urgently need it. So if you're physically able, please give now at the nearest blood bank. You may save the life of a child or an accident victim, and you protect not only yourself, but the community as well. Brought to you by Maida Subaru at 2410 Auburn Boulevard in Sacramento. You can reach them at 916-486-8000 or online at maidasubaru.com. They care about the people in this community. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, welcoming two guests to the program. Steve Lyons and Bonnie Antonini are here, and they are both part of a California Stage Company production of a new play called Mystery Spot. It's a comedy written by Steve Lyons, who, as I mentioned before, attended Sac State University before transferring to UC Berkeley, where he received a degree in electrical engineering. Now, living in Berkeley, Steve Lyons has written plays that have won multiple awards and have been produced in theaters throughout the United States as well as in the UK. With us as well is Bonnie Antonini, who plays the part of Sylvia Plath in the play, and she herself is an accomplished poet. I look forward to chatting with them both about their interests in poetry, in technology, and especially in theater. And Bonnie, the mic is closest to you, so Bonnie Antonini, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you so much, Andy. Thank you for having both of us here.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. So, so that we don't forget, why don't we share some of the details about this show so that if people want to add it to their calendars, they can be reminded how to do so.
All right. It's playing for the next 4 weeks. We opened this past weekend at California Stage, which is at 25th and R in Sacramento. The plays run Friday night and Saturday nights at 8 o'clock, and we have a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock.
That's great. And that's right over by the Sacramento Poetry Center.
It is. It's in the same complex, actually.
Yeah. And many listeners of this show know that complex pretty well from all the times that I've encouraged them, as much as I'm allowed to encourage. I've encouraged all of us to check out Fine Poets, and that's certainly one of the places where one can find fine poetry. I want to talk some more about this show. You play Sylvia Plath in the show?
That's right.
That's kind of daunting, isn't it?
Well, I guess so. It's sort of an honor to play Sylvia Plath.
Sure. Tell me about your own work as a poet and if you considered Plath one of your own influences before taking on this role.
No, I wouldn't consider her an influence. I find her rather a tragic figure and interesting and a talent. I was really looking forward to getting the part. I don't really have anyone in mind that was actually an influence in my own poetry. I write a lot of different styles, from prose-type poetry to rhyme-type poetry. I don't really have one style. I like to, wherever the poem takes me, I get my idea, and then the poem sort of tells me what it wants to do.
Do you find that explorations or discoveries that come to you as a poet, as a writer of poetry, that those inform the work that you do as an actress at all?
That's an interesting question. I actually see them as separate. In this particular play, though, The Mystery Spot, one of my poems is incorporated into the, or an excerpt from my poem is incorporated into the play. So there's a combination right there. But my acting and my poetry are really separate entities.
Excellent. Well, we'll want to hear more about that, but let's introduce everyone to Steve Lyons. Steve Lyons is the creator of this play, Mystery Spot, that we've been talking about, that has recently opened at the California Stage Company. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I've had many guests on this show who, like you, understand the definition of visual C++, and yet who write poetry or write plays. And so I'm wondering if you could say something about your life's path, that you earned a degree in engineering at UC Berkeley, and yet here you are a a widely appreciated playwright whose plays have been seen all over the country and in the UK.
Right. I always kept journals, mm-hmm. Though I was an engineer. And these journals invariably seem to have comic dialogue in them. And after I filled up about the third journal with comic dialogue, I thought, well, maybe I'm writing a play. So I set about writing a play. My first play was about our cruel healthcare system, and it had a homeless person as a sympathetic character. It had cute kids. It had a big, big message, and it was awful. And but of course, at the time, I thought it was brilliant. It took a while to figure out it was awful. What helped was getting probably a couple dozen rejection letters for this play. And I thought, well, I've just written probably the worst play anyone's ever written, so I can't do worse than this. So I thought, well, the next play will be better. And for the next play, what I did was I took an excerpt from this first there was one good scene in the play, which had frankly nothing to do with the play, which is probably why it was a good scene. And I took that and expanded it, and it became my first produced play.
Good for you. Well, how about Mystery Spot? We've been talking a little bit about California today. And a lot of people, when they see the words Mystery Spot, it's usually on a bumper sticker about a place near Santa Cruz. And I'm wondering if you could help us connect some dots between Sylvia Plath and that Mystery Spot that some people know so well.
Right. So the genesis for this play, which is no longer actually in the play, but the genesis for the play was my wife was reading a book about the U.S. invasion of Iraq, and about religious fervor and hatred caused by religious fervor. And she put down the book and she said, God must be so depressed by all this. And that image of God being depressed was just so stark. I really liked that. So that was sort of the genesis. And then I, for years, had thought it would be kind of cool to have a play set at the Mystery Spot. I just didn't know what would happen in this play. And then I had this concept of having a regular old guy from Oroville, California, which is where I grew up until the age of 13, who is accepted to UC Santa Cruz and becomes a women's studies major so he can pick up girls. And then to fund his womanizing, he gets a job at the Mystery Spot. And then another thing I wanted to have in the play, or a play, was I wanted some character at some point to say, Sylvia Plath was apparently some chick who felt sad and managed to turn it into a career. And so I had all these things. They all got thrown into the pot, and this play resulted. The God character was some of my best writing, I think, in terms of subtext. And I made up a language. I didn't want to put words into God's mouth, so God spoke a language, an incomprehensible language, and that was sort of fun. Anyway, this is a great, fabulous character that just plain did not work in this play. And I had to – there's an adage in playwriting, which is you have to be willing to kill your babies. And I had to be willing to take this God character out. And once I took the God character out, the play worked.
That's wonderful. I think there are a lot of people out there in the world who feel that there are Northern California intellectuals such as yourself and myself who are taking God out of great literature and the classroom and the society all over the place. But for you, it worked as a creative tool.
Having God in my play,
or removing God. Yeah,
having God on the editing room floor.
Right.
Yeah. You put God. A lot of people. It turns out people bring their own baggage to this character, and you put God on stage, and you're just asking for trouble.
Right.
Maybe my God, my wonderful babbling kind of derelict God character will end up in a different play.
Perhaps so. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. Steve Lyons and Bonnie Antonini are here, and they are two of the driving forces behind a new play that has just premiered at the California Stage Company called Mystery Spot. It involves Sylvia Plath, as we've already talked about. It involves Santa Cruz, California, and many other topics and themes that you may want to check out if you were to go over to the California Stage Company and see it any of the next three weekends.
Yes.
Four weekends.
Okay.
Fridays and Saturday nights, and then matinees on Sundays.
Yes, and more information at www.calstage.org.
Calstage.org. Great. Well, we're going to take a quick break and hear from the sponsor of this program, the Yolo Federal Credit Union. And then when we return, we will find out a little bit more about Sylvia Plath and a new play, Mystery Spot, here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour here on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to be checking out the Irish poetry, prose, and music performed by Lauren Norton and her folk band, The Souterrain. That'll be at the John Itzulis Gallery tomorrow at 8 p.m. as part of the Poetry Night reading series. If you'd like to find out more, you could visit poetryindavis.com. There will be an open mic that starts at 9 o'clock. And one of my students, a student in my Writing Across Media class, has said that she's going to perform a parody of the song Like a G6, which I know many of you know. So if you'd like to see that, That'll happen during the open mic tomorrow at 9. Often we can enjoy the ukulele music of Gary Salin, who you can hear right here on this radio station on Sundays. Well, here in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn, KDVS, we have Steve Lyons and Bonnie Antonini. Steve has written a new play. It's called Mystery Spot, and it premiered last weekend at the California Stage Company. calstage.org is how you can find out more about that. And Bonnie Antonini plays Sylvia Plath in that particular production. Bonnie, I'm curious to know how one prepares mentally, with costumes, with other sorts of things. How do you prepare to become Sylvia Plath?
Well, this is a comedy, so one has to remember that.
Okay.
Normally, when you think of Sylvia Plath, it's a tragedy since she committed suicide at such a young age. But this is a comedy, and the part that Sylvia Plath plays in this is she's up in heaven after having killed herself and is just not doing well there because she killed herself before she really was ready. And so she gets sent back to Earth to resolve whatever it is she needs to resolve, and she has to figure that out for herself. So they send her to the mystery spot because that's sort of a vortexy sort of spot that would be a good place to send someone from the above down to. So she's on a quest. She doesn't know exactly what her quest is, but they send her on a quest. So, like I said, it's a comedy, but it is still Sylvia Plath, and it does have some pathos to it as well. So what I've been doing is reading her huge book, Letters Home, to her mother, and just to get an idea of what Sylvia herself was like. I don't really like to read biographies because they generally tend to be skewed, but I wanted to read her own words, so I've been plunging into that. I'm nearly done with that one, and then reading The Bell Jar and reading some of her poetry. But again, to repeat, it is a comedy, so I try to have some light moments, although there are some very, very serious moments when she, just brief, but when she talks about her suicide. So I don't like to make light of those moments. Even in the audience, I can just hear them starting to titter because they think it's going to be a joke, but it's not. So I have to make sure I keep it at that level where it's not a joke, and I don't want to play it for the laugh.
I understand that it's difficult to get the permission, even to pay for it, to use Sylvia Plath's poetry in, say, in a production like this. And we're talking about a new play, Mystery Spot, which just opened at the California Stage Company. What sort of solutions did you all come up with to that particular challenge?
Well, I don't really want to give too much away, especially at the end of the play. But there is a point in the play when a portion of a poem needs to be read. And originally it was going to be one of Sylvia's poems, The Hanging Man. But then it was decided that perhaps it could be a Plathian-type poem. It doesn't really need to be an actual Sylvia Plath poem. And again, I don't want to give the reason why, but if you come see the play, you'll find that out for yourself. So I happen to be a poet, and I had a couple of poems that I thought might be Plathian enough, so I submitted them to Steve, and he liked them, and in one in particular he decided to take an excerpt from. It's not a very long play or poem to start with, but we didn't want it to be a long poem. So there was a portion of it that is now incorporated into the play.
Excellent. And do you have it with you? Would you like to share it with listeners?
All right. I'd be glad to. The poem is called A Fair Barter. Feed me your pretzeled words to sate anguish fears. I crave the illusion. Weave me tales that electrify so I can soar to the pinnacle of being blindly plunging down into the cavity of hell. This fractured ecstasy leaves me smiling, undaunted by the quivering mirror. You read my needs like your Shakespeare. Choose your weapon, dearest lover.
Very nice.
Thank you. I get some ribbing from that from some of my cast members. The beginning portion is what gets read in the play, and so they like to joke pretzeled words, sate your anguish fears. One of the cast members didn't know what sate meant.
Yeah.
And I said, satiate, you know, to satisfy. And they went, why don't you just say that? Because I said sate, and that's the word.
Right.
And pretzeled words is a twist, your twisted words. The poem is really a plea to a cheating lover to please just keep lying to me so I can believe the illusion that you're... I know it's not true, I know, but I'll believe you if you keep telling me it.
Right. And that's the other sort of pathos that many people associate with Sylvia Plath. And that is not just her suicide and not just her struggle with mental illness, but her treatment at the hands of her husband, Ted Hughes, and the interesting things that she did with that anguish in terms of transforming that into many of the poems in her book, Ariel.
Well, one interesting thing that I've noticed, and maybe this is because these are the letters to her mother,
mm-hmm.
but she never mentions that to her mother in her letters. It's all very positive about her husband. Every now and then you might hear a little, we fought, kind of one little line kind of thing, but that was just sort of a side note. She was crazy about him. I mean, she was just always talking about how talented and we. She always used the word we. We did this, we did that. She was very much in love with her husband. And you have to remember, this was way back another generation when the man sort of ruled the roost, and I really don't know enough about the situation to really judge him. I'm not sure he was any worse than a lot of husbands at the time in that his needs came first.
Yeah. One thinks of Mad Men, the television show. I don't know if you've seen any of that drama. But of that particular context, where a lot of modern viewers watch it and wonder, well, why doesn't she just do this or say that or whatever the case may be. And there wasn't always a lot of room within the social mores for her to make the sort of decisions that women would make today.
Well, and she was in a foreign country to her. I mean, she was living in England and really didn't have an income of her own as well.
Absolutely. Well, the name of the play that you can see at the California Stage Company in Sacramento is Mystery Spot. We've been hearing from Bonnie Antonini. She plays Sylvia Plath in this new play. And you can see it for the next four weekends, Friday and Saturday nights. Is that at 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
And matinees at 2 on Sundays?
That's correct, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock on Sundays. And give us the address over there by the Sacramento Poetry Center one more time.
The address, it's at the corner of 25th and R. But just a word to all you people who go to SPC, to the Poetry Center. The entrance to the theater is not in that little parking lot area by SPC. You have to go around by the railroad tracks. That's where the entrance to the theater that the play is in. There's actually three theaters in that complex. Two of them have their entrances by SPC. The one that we're at, you have to go outside around by the railroad tracks, and then you'll find the entrance.
So leave yourself an extra couple minutes when planning to go see Mystery Spot, which you can do this weekend and the next few weekends. Information available at calstage.org. Well, Bonnie Antonini, it's been a delight to talk to you about this role. Thanks very much for coming on the radio show.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And Steve, same to you. It must be quite an experience to see your words come to life on stage in Sacramento.
It's been wonderful.
Excellent.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. I'd like to thank Steve Lyons and Bonnie Antonini for coming on the program, as well as Pippa Wishaw, who visited us all the way from Melbourne, Australia. She's been a student here this quarter and will be so this coming quarter. Very happy to have her as part of the poetry scene here in the city of Davis. Speaking of which, as I've already mentioned, Lauren Norton, who's from Ireland, will be reading Irish poetry and prose tomorrow at the John Atsoulis Gallery as part of a celebration of St. Patrick's Day. She is also a